Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to be joined now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, guys. How are you?
John, doing well.
We're gonna flip the script here. We're going to ask you what you want the A topic to be today during this interview.
Oh.
Oh, look at this.
Wow.
Curveball.
You should have given me some time to prep if I'd known you were going to ask me that.
No, it's going to be about, like, UMBC and Coach Odom.
We could talk about that. Yeah, right. They play Vermont tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. I know you guys will be right by your television sets. And
I actually
Great season they've had to get to the finals.
I think John Becker should get a big-time job here in the next couple of years from
Vermont. I think there's a good chance he'll get a big-time job, the Vermont coach, and there's also a pretty good chance Ryan Odom's going to be offered several jobs.
Good.
Because of the job he's done. I mean, they had won, since you brought it up, they had won 41 games in seven seasons before he got to UMBC last year. Mm-hmm. They've won 44 in the last 2 years.
How old is Ryan? That's a hell of a turnaround. How old is Ryan?
43.
Wow. Yeah, we have his dad on all the time. His dad's great.
Oh, Dave's one of the all-time greats, and so is his mom. I might have told you this. I first met Ryan when he was in a stroller.
Wow.
Because when I was in college, I did some stringing work for the local paper in Durham, and I covered Durham High School, and the coach was Dave Odom. And Lynn used to bring the boys, Lane and Ryan, to the games, and the first time I met Ryan, I think he was 2 or 3 years old, and he was literally in a stroller. And now I've been calling their games on TV the last 2 years, so it's been a lot of fun. That's one of the really nice college hoops stories of this season. And you know, this time of year, I'm totally about hoops. And I was at the A-10 tournament yesterday. I'll be there today. I'll go to the Ivy League tomorrow. Then the brackets will come out Sunday, and I'll probably go to Pittsburgh next week. I look forward to it. I especially look forward that even though the NCAA has tried to make as many games as possible start in the middle of the night.
Right.
those first couple of days of the tournament, you get afternoon games that you can watch and cover.
Now, the Ivy League, they switched it up. It used to be the conference champion, but now they just do the semifinal, like the top four,
right.
Correct?
The top four teams qualify. They started that last year. They play in the Palestra.
Right.
You guys know how cool I think that is. And so tomorrow, Harvard and Penn tied for the title. In the old days, they would have had a one-game playoff at a neutral site, but now Harvard will be the number one seed on the tiebreaker, and they'll play Cornell in the first game, and then in the second game, Penn will play Yale. And if Penn does win the tournament, you're going to hear screaming from the other schools about them having an unfair advantage playing on their home court. Last year, they were the 4 seed and lost in overtime to Princeton, so nobody screamed and yelled since they didn't win.
Mm-hmm. So you went to the A-10 yesterday. There was
I did.
A couple of pretty good VCU Dayton games.
The afternoon games were really good. Virginia Commonwealth has had a tough season. You know, they're down to their last 2 Shaka Smart recruits. They're going to have to rebuild. Mike Rhodes was a Shaka assistant. Really good guy, good coach. He's in his first year. They were down 5 with 3 minutes to go, and I thought they were going down because they'd been ahead most of the game against Dayton, and they're down 5. Mike Rhodes called timeout and basically said to his players, guys, we got to get 3 straight stops, and if we do, we'll win the game. They got 4 stops in a row, went on a 10-0 run and won the game. And then Mason was behind the whole game
against
UMass. UMass came out just blistering threes. They made 7 of their first 8 in the first 12 minutes of the game. They led by 14. Mason worked their way back, fell behind again, worked their way back. Finally, got to the foul line at the end of the game. They killed UMass on the offensive boards, and they won the game. And get to play today against St. Joe's, and VCU will play Rhode Island, the top seed, in the first game at noon. So it should be a good afternoon doubleheader again.
VCU only played Rhode Island once, I believe, and lost to them. Do they have a shot?
At home, yeah, it was a good game. Yeah, they have a chance. Rhode Island, since they clinched the championship, has not played especially well. Lost by 30 at home to St. Joseph's on senior night. Maybe right. That's why you don't cut down the nets after you win a regular season title. So we'll see which Rhode Island team shows up. The one that won, I think, their first 13 conference games, or the one that's kind of struggled, lost three out of their last five. I think VCU, if they play good defense the way they did down the stretch yesterday, definitely has a chance.
So you've got round three, Duke Carolina. Who knows, maybe a one seed's at stake. It was just a tough ask for Mike Bray and the boys to play for a third straight day, especially when you got to play
it
Bagley.
Was.
I mean, Bagley's unguardable. I mean, he's...
Yeah, Bagley, when Bagley decides to play, he's really, really tough. And I think you're right. I think Notre Dame ran out of gas in the second half. They played a good first half. They were only down four. And then Bagley just, you know, went to work in the second half and did what he's capable of doing. Doesn't always do, but what he's capable of doing. I always pick the team that loses the Saturday before in a Duke-Carolina rematch in the ACC tournament. Like last year, Duke lost at Carolina, then beat Carolina in the semis and went on and won the tournament. This year, I'd be inclined to lean to Carolina in this game because of that, because Duke won in Cameron on Saturday. But, Jason, I don't really think a number one seed is at stake, certainly not for Carolina.
Yeah, maybe
I think
not.
Carolina,
right.
Best case, is going to be a two. I think Duke probably needs Kansas. Duke needs to win the tournament and Kansas to lose to be a one seed. Otherwise, they're going to. Last year, they won the tournament and they were still a two seed, and I think that's more likely. But still, you know, it's Duke Carolina. It's always a big deal. Virginia's still the best team in the league.
I was telling the boys earlier, and I said this yesterday, I get it. The NCAA tournament's huge. You know, even the casual sports fan gets into it. But for me, as someone who loves college hoops and I follow it a lot, this is the week. I mean, when you have so many games on Thursday and Friday, you had 56 games yesterday. Probably
yeah, I love this week, Jason. I'm just
this,
like
this
you.
This is my favorite week.
I particularly love the one-bid league tournaments because, as Bray said years and years ago when he was still at Delaware, when you win in that league, it's like a big-time team making the Final Four.
Oh yeah.
If you win a game in the tournament or two, that's like winning the national championship. And so when you see an ending like, you know, they had with Radford hitting the buzzer beater on Sunday, you see Loyola Chicago get to the tournament for the first time in 33 years. Stuff like that it's just really cool. And I love the fact that, like in yesterday's doubleheader, the afternoon doubleheader, all four teams were playing in win-or-go-home situations because they're not going to the NIT or the NCAA, certainly not the NCAA, if they don't win. The only two teams in the Atlantic 10 that have bids locked are St. Bonaventure and Rhode Island. Davidson would probably go to the NIT if they don't win the tournament. So everybody else is playing win-or-go-home.
Right.
You know, I felt bad for GW last night. They had a big lead early, and then St. Louis came back. Then Watanabe got hurt, and they were basically done. That's a terrible way to end your season, but it's a lot of fun to watch. And next week is good, too, especially Thursday, Friday, when the little guys get their chance in the spotlight.
Hey, John, I don't think I've asked you about this, but we talked about it, I think, last week and the week before amongst ourselves. I don't think they're paying enough attention to this Ohtani story. The Japanese guy that's going to pitch and then play out in the field 3 days a week and pitch. I mean, this is one of the more intriguing, incredible stories. If he's as good as advertised, I mean, this suggests he could be a potential superstar at both positions. Why are we not paying more attention to this?
I think people are taking a wait-and-see thing. I mean, the story got a lot of attention when teams were bidding for him and then when he signed with the Angels. And he didn't pitch particularly well his first outing in spring. But I think that when we get in the regular season and he's actually doing it, and if he does have some success, it will be the story in Major League Baseball.
This is incredible. I mean,
if he can succeed,
I hope he
it
does,
will be
yeah.
the story in Major League Baseball. If, in fact, it turns out that he's really good at one and not so much the other, and he becomes a one-position player, then he becomes another good player. Yeah. So, but if he does it, if he can actually pull it off, it'll be the story. It'll be what, you know, it'll be one of those stories that non-sports outlets will be talking about. You know, he'll be on the evening news. He'll be on CNN and he'll be on MSNBC. So it'll be a huge story if he succeeds.
John, pretty fun California trip for the Caps so far. Outscored 7-1 in two games. They're 0-6 on the power play in the two losses. Oh, and there's a brewing goalie controversy as well for Barry Trotz.
Well, if there ends up being a goalie controversy, then the Caps are in trouble. And I think Grubauer is a good goalie and one of the best backups in the league. And the word seems to be that you know, he won't be back next year one way or the other. But if Braden Holtby doesn't become Braden Holtby by the time the playoffs start, the Caps aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Because Braden Holtby has been the main reason they've had a serious chance, even though they haven't converted in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, he's been either the best goalie in the league or one of the two or three best goalies in the league. And for the Caps' sake, I hope he's just going through a slump that goalies go through, pitchers go through, hitters go through. You know, we all know what happens. And that by the time mid-April rolls around, which isn't that far away. Yep. I mean, we're talking about a month, right? That he's Braden Holtby again. And I do think that this isn't shocking that they're going through this little ditch here, because I felt they were overachieving for a lot of the season to be leading the Metropolitan Division. I think at one point they had a 6-point lead in the division. And we all know how strong the division is, and we all know what they lost during the summer. And now the question is, can they recover in time to again, we know home ice doesn't matter in the playoffs because the Caps have had home ice a million times and never won. So what they've got to do is just get themselves in a position where they're A, healthy, B, playing better hockey, and C, have Holtby being Holtby once the playoffs start.
Hey, John, different question for you. Have you been following some of these stories, like the Players Tribune? So Steve Francis writes something about his, you know, his story. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I've read a number of the stories.
Yeah,
on
Kevin
the Players
Love.
Tribune. The Billy Hurley story last year was extraordinary.
Now, so Kevin Love, I think DeMar DeRozan, a lot of these people are coming out, you know, and really admitting to some personal things, and I think it's great. But I'm reading the stories, and they're riveting. Can you kind of give us behind the scenes your best guess? I mean, are these guys writing them themselves? I mean, they're unbelievable. They're really well written.
Yeah, I have a feeling that most of them are getting help, you know, from a writer. Although I did ask Billy Hurley, you know, you know who Billy Hurley is,
sure.
The golfer from Navy whose dad committed suicide. And I asked Billy if he'd written it himself. And now Billy's a Navy grad, smart kid, not a kid anymore. And he said yes. That he had shown it to some other people for help, and he wrote it over a period of several months.
Right.
But I would assume in most cases they're getting help from writers. It's an interesting concept because I don't like the idea, you know, that Derek Jeter, because he's the one who started it, is basically saying to players, come and talk, do this through us rather than talking
write
to
your
the media.
Own story.
Naturally, I would be against that. But you're right. Some of the stories have been remarkable.
Yeah, really good. All right, Tigers, he made par from the
trees. I knew we'd get to that sooner or later.
Spieth just missed a 5-footer.
Spieth looks like a complete disaster.
Spieth can't make a putt.
He just missed a 2-footer.
That's the weird thing. This is the problem in his game is his putter, and this is a guy who was the best putter in the world for a couple of years.
Well, he's still
and including
off the
last
team.
Year at the British Open, and I you know, again, it's like we were talking about with Holtby, golfers go through periods where something's wrong, where they can't putt or they have a two-way miss going or something like that. Spieth right now has basically a two-way miss going with his putter. He'll come out of it.
Yeah.
He's too good not to. The question is when. And what's funny to me is golf writers, because golf in particular is such an insular world. You know, right? The guys who are at Innsbruck right now, they don't even know that it's basketball season.
Right.
I mean, I was at the Honda a couple weeks ago, and there wasn't a soul talking about anything other than, what else, Tiger Woods.
Right.
But they're so insular that if a guy goes through 2 or 3 months and he's not playing well or not putting well, whatever it is, his career's over. Oh, my God, what's going on here? I mean, they were doing that. Remember when Spieth blew the lead at the Masters a couple years back? And he'll never be the same again. And we're starting to see a little bit of that with Jordan and his putter right now. Jordan will be fine. It's just a question. Not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Well, they said that about Tiger, too. And I'm telling you, he's starting to get that swagger back. And Jason and I even talked about this. I mean, you almost get the sense that Jordan and Henrik, like, Really, even a little, like, sort of in the shadow.
He's probably going to disagree with this, but Jordan looked nervy yesterday. And it's one thing if Tiger's hacking it up and shooting 76, but if Tiger's playing well, I got to think, just based on the aura of Tiger.
He still has it.
That some golfers will still get intimidated. Somehow.
Well, he has. Yeah, he still has.
Still Tiger.
An aura, not the aura that he used to have. I will concede that because, you know, he still draws the huge crowds and everything, and it's totally different playing with him than playing with anybody else. And guys, you know, McIlroy and Justin Thomas both talked about that out in L.A. But the thing I will say is this. I think Jordan's nerves are more from the fact that he knows he can't putt than who he's playing with.
Yeah, it could be. I'm sure. Maybe. I mean, he's got his own accomplishments.
We'll see how he plays today.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, Jordan is the kind of guy who, look, he's friendly, he's outgoing, but he's into his own game. I mean, he probably doesn't even know. Well, he knows what Tiger shot yesterday, but believe me, he's not concerned with that.
Well,
he's concerned with his putter.
He knows Tiger spanked him, which I love.
Yeah, okay. So it's one. You know, he spanked him. That's the, again, in a golf tournament, that's not what you're doing. You're trying to get into position for Saturday and Sunday. He knows right now he's not going to make the cut. He's not thinking about Tiger. Trust me.
Right.
Bickle
he's not
just
thinking about the guy who's leading the tournament.
Bickle
the,
just
the kid
loves
who,
that you should
who,
see
who made it as an alternate.
You should see Bickle's reaction when Tiger makes a par, like an American par. He just looks at Valdez and they just laugh at each other.
Well, I mean, he's the best scrambler. Like, he's unbelievable.
I mean,
he was the best scrambler in the history of the game. There's no question about that. Just, but what I don't understand with you, Eric, and with all these other Tigeristas is look, I think the guy's the greatest player in the history of the game. I've told you that a million times. But why the emotional attachment to a guy who you know is a bad guy?
I can separate it. I agree with that. And it's a flaw I have.
Well, I can't. And maybe that's because of what I do, because I've known so
it's
many people, athletes,
you.
Coaches, whatever,
you know
that
him.
I don't separate it. I the way I decide if I'm pulling for somebody is if I like them or I don't like them, whatever it is. And because we all have biases. I mean, anybody tells you reporters are objective is lying to you. But, you know, it's like when people say, you must be at the ACC tournament with Duke. I haven't covered Duke since I was at the Duke Chronicle, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but
now,
you got
do
guys.
Do I have a bias toward Mike Krzyzewski?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But honestly, I don't even like Duke as a school. I've told you guys this before. The last two presidents have been disasters. I think it's an overrated school academically. And people say, oh, you always root for Duke. Honestly, last night I would have been very happy if Notre Dame won because Bray's a friend, and they needed the win. Duke didn't need the win. The way I am.
I know we got a break.
I don't separate it.
But yeah, no, but there are some, though. We got a break, so they're not going to let us get into this. Maybe we can next week. But I think it's like Pete Carroll's one of your guys. I think he's a terrible guy.
Pete Carroll's not one of my guys.
Bobby Knight.
Or one of the. I barely know Pete Carroll. Okay, so I'm wrong. It's either Pete Carroll or Calipari. One of these guys, and I'm like.
Calipari. 30 years ago, I know you got to get to break.
Yeah.
When I first knew John, when he was a Kansas assistant, yes, I liked him very much. I think now, to quote him on his 96 team in reverse, now he thinks he poops ice cream.
Right.
All right, we can get into that next week.
All right,
week.
We got to go.
All right, thank you, John.
See you guys. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, John. You too. John, fine. See you.
I mean, Tiger is unbelievable.
Go right to break.
Yeah. All
go.
Right. All right. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. A few of us are going to be at MGM National Harbor tomorrow morning for the poker tournament, the Chance for Life poker tournament. The event lasts all day at MGM National Harbor. It supports pediatric cancer research.
Correct.
Lee Valdez is making a day of it, right?
Yeah, he's going to be there all day.
Got the wife coming?
Yeah, she's going to come for the tasting and the party after the poker.
Will there finally be buns?
Lock there will be on Saturday.
Because you've been, by the way, that's been the kind of the hidden secret behind the scenes here. He's been passing up on his Saturday buns routine.
Right.
Yeah. I was telling him we might need to have an intervention.
Valdez,
what
since
are you
going
to do to intervene?
I don't know, but he's venturing into Lurch territory.
Valdez, you want to come over and help?
What are you going to do? How are you going to do this if you're going to be playing cards all day?
That's the gambling
bell. You act like there won't be TVs in a casino.
Well, there are. Well, I don't know what room they're having it in. Are they having it in the same
upstairs, one of the upstairs ballrooms, kind of near the lobby.
Yeah, I'm able to assume there will be TVs.
There will be TVs.
Yes. Just,
but it's harder to do this.
Yeah, but he's still going to be gambling. It's still it's kind of all catered to the same
addiction.
It's harder
to bet at all.
It's kind of a secret, but I'm kind of psyched to get knocked out early so that I can go down to the 1-3 table.
Oh, exactly.
And have an excuse to go play until Laura gets there.
I like your line of thinking there.
Not a secret anymore.
So, and you're staying there, right?
At the hotel?
No. Oh, you're going home.
Yeah, go home. I live 10 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he's just going to Uber to and from.
Uber home.
He's got it all planned out.
Now, is it going to be the Saturday morning buns? Well, the event is on Saturday.
Yes.
So it'll be a Saturday.
So I'm going to...
Give us the routine.
All right, so...
Normally, it's a Saturday morning.
Yeah, so what happens is Manny starts barking around 5:30.
Man, that's early.
Uh-huh. So I wake up. And I make some coffee, and I take Manny out for a walk.
You got to get that guy on a better schedule.
I'm going to get Manny out for a walk.
And then he poops, and I feed him and everything.
Does he jump back into bed after he eats? That's what my dog does.
Yeah, or the sofa.
Right.
He's also been working on his shortstop game lately.
Yeah, of course.
How much does Manny weigh now, by the way?
115 pounds.
Wow.
Wow, God. I thought he was heavier than that.
That's a bigums.
How big is Oakley, Oaktown?
Oak is about probably 85 pounds.
Man, that's a big dog.
By the way, did anybody know that Oak Tree nipped Drab T-shirt in the face within the past couple of weeks?
Nope.
Definitely drew blood. You want to explain what happened there, Drab T-shirt?
Yeah, I think it was one night after I had a couple beers.
You got a little cocky.
I told Sarah that I could keep any dog from biting me.
Right.
Like if I got attacked by a random dog,
a vicious pit bull.
What do you
have
to do? All you got to do is just lay on top of him and control him.
Right.
And I said, "Watch this." So I laid on top of Oakley, and he yelped and sunk his teeth right into my chin, and that thing was like a geyser.
He was bitter.
He was bitter. I was bitter.
Yeah, you can't.
But
do that.
I won the bitter off because
you pummeled him.
Yeah.
I mean, he could really hurt somebody.
But he bit you.
Oh yeah.
So back to Valdez's routine because you just
I know. I know. Maybe I'm still there.
I sidebarred it.
You did the Manny bit or whatever. Yeah. Where are the buns normally?
When Laura wakes up, I kind of keep an eye on her and see when she starts tossing around.
She starts tossing and turning and then you go in.
And then especially this Saturday because there's going to be so much gambling.
Right.
And I'm just going to be so
sized. You're going to be frisky.
I'm going to be so sized.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put Manny in his cage. I'm going to put peanut butter in his little bone.
Yeah.
So he's licking the peanut butter.
So that gets Manny occupied.
Make
sure you put that on his bone.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
Either or, okay.
And then.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I just, you have to be specific.
And then
here.
I lock him in the cage so that way he's not at the door, kind of yelping to come in and give me a hand.
Right.
And then I go in there 3 minutes later.
Right.
Go out, let Manny out.
All right, and then that's going to be the routine this Saturday, even though you have a big night out on the town. So it's going to be a twofer for you.
Well, it depends what time we get back.
Okay.
Saturday evening.
Yeah, Saturday evening.
She'll be a little tipsy.
That's what
and
I'm thinking.
It's open bar all day long.
I think he's thinking it's not going to be a twofer. He's knocking it out. He's shaking his head no.
I hear what he's saying over there.
We'll knock that one out in the morning.
Right. And then
we'll check that off in the morning.
Box checked.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's a night on the town. Isn't that kind of like an aphrodisiac for you? A big night on the town like that? Plus, your wife's going to think you're a big silly because you take her all these fancy parties. I mean, normally you're hillbilly. You don't go to parties like that.
Chance for Life is a really nice
deal.
Really
Jacket Valdez. Nice. Yeah. You're not going to dip at the party, are you?
Probably not.
Ooh.
By the way, I think the dress code for the tasting event and the after party, stylish cocktail. Do you have that in your closet?
Yes, I have a jacket.
Casual is for the poker event. It's different for the...
Yeah, you got to wear a jacket. Yeah.
I mean, I goof on Valdez for being a hillbilly. I don't even know what stylish...
It's no joke.
Oh, I know. I've been to the event, but I don't even know what that means.
It used to be more casual. I think it's just getting ramped up.
Because I would go to the event with a jacket and jeans, but that's kind of frowned upon.
I think you can do that.
No, I think that's
actually
solid.
I went to TJ Maxx yesterday to get a new shirt.
Very nice.
Thrifty. I like it. That's my guy.
I'm surprised you didn't buy a used one on eBay.
So no.
Valdez buys used Augusta gear. Like some old man's used sweater.
Yeah,
a member's old sweater.
His Pima cotton V-neck. I've done it before.
Do you think our friend Brad Nierenberg, who's coordinating Chance for Life, has ever bought a shirt at TJ Maxx?
No, he's so rich.
Ever?
Kidding me?
Don't know his background.
He's got money coming out of his ears.
I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and some guy was selling ties or something. Like, you could rent a tie. And the guys
rental business.
Yeah,
rent a tie.
Did they show them the door and say, "Get out of here"?
It just seems so nubs. For $15, you could do like unlimited tie rentals or something. And then Barbara said, "You don't understand. Every guy on this panel here spends at minimum $300 per tie.
Per tie.
Yeah, minimum."
And you can get a silly Van Heusen for about $6.
Hey, look at my Hager tie. I spent $7 on it.
$300. I get like a Ralph Lauren,
and
I think I'm spending a lot for like 30 or something.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus. I think Mark Cuban spoke up and said, and he's nubs. I mean, he's a terrible dresser. He said he doesn't spend $300 for a tie.
I can't imagine tie being worth $300.
He's actually had a lot of plastic surgery.
He just assaults women.
I mean, even.
He passed a lie detector and press charges.
Right.
Even if I had $1 billion, I wouldn't spend $300 on a tie. Stupid.
Right. You think
you'd spend $300 on other things.
Absolutely.
You think Warren Buffett spends $300 on ties?
Probably not.
No.
He doesn't even spend $3 on breakfast.
Yeah.
He gets like a coffee and a 99-cent egg sandwich.
Like a Krispy Kreme donut.
From McDonald's every morning.
Does he own Krispy Kreme? I know he owns Dairy Queen.
I don't know.
He probably goes to Dairy Queen for lunch. And
probably does.
Tries to get like a discount.
Probably gets a silly blizzard after he eats his hamburger.
You think Warren Buffett begs for Kava cards like you?
He probably eats better than you think, even though he has that reputation of eating poorly, because he's an older gentleman.
Absolutely.
He's got to be 85.
He's in that range.
Probably.
He's not just eating crap.
You don't think he's got a private chef?
I don't know. All I know is his daughter wanted to remodel her kitchen, and he made her get a loan at a bank.
Yeah, I remember that story.
That's hard.
Well, he's Warren Buffett. She definitely need a loan if a Gary comes in and redoes your kitchen. I'm sorry, Gary. I love Gary. He's a good guy.
Nobody
knows who Gary is.
No one knows
Gary's
who
my contract.
His brother Gino.
Yeah.
He's very nice.
Business. Gary.
He's not on a different business.
Yeah,
now.
He's not in that
I
business.
Can't keep track. Lighting.
Real quick, EB mentioned
Buffett's 87, by the way.
Wow. During the Feinstein interview, the Players Tribune article about Stevie Francis. Yeah. And it definitely was intriguing. I will say, I believe that they give their tale and somebody's typing it out for him, because his tale is, you know, he's speaking first person the whole time, and just the language that he's using. I mean, I guess you could type it up, but he's like, I went to Beijing for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody's just typing it up
right.
And then arranging it in a
for
certain
sure,
way.
But they're also making sure, like,
I mean, he said he went to 6 high schools.
They're organizing it in a way.
The stunning
that's,
thing to
that's
me,
drama.
I wasn't aware of this or I've forgotten it, because he was unbelievable at the University of Maryland, had a good pro career.
He's a freak.
He played 2 games of high school basketball.
Right.
Yeah, well, they cut him as a freshman, and he said, F you.
2 games of high school hoops.
Yeah.
And was selling.
But he was so good on the AAU circuit at just the few tournaments that he played that he got an offer to play at San Jacinto. That shows you.
Right.
They just saw what a freak he was.
And then part of this whole story, it's like a 9-page story, is that he swears that he played Sean Marion in JUCO and had a quadruple double.
Said he murdered him.
And then Sean Marion has the tape, and he's been asking for the tape for 20 years.
Oh, really?
VHS
tape. I believe it.
VHS tape, so nub.
If you're Sean Marion, that tape never sees the light of day.
Yeah.
You don't want a Stevie franchise lighting you up on old grainy VHS tape?
I hope it's true, and it doesn't matter. I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, actually, about this, and he was like, it doesn't matter if you guys are addicted to crack or addicted to alcohol. It's still... It's substance abuse, but he sure did look like he looked like a crackhead.
Yeah, he admits to
the
demons
of
alcohol,
and he says he never used it though. That alcohol definitely was his demon, and I guess that's true. But doesn't he? He just has that look.
It was in the eyes.
I guess alcoholics can get that.
His eyes always look bloodshot.
His whole face, the whole way his face looks now, it looks different.
A little puffy.
Did his eyes look like Valdez's from a few days ago? They probably did.
Yeah.
Your eye looks remarkably better, by the way.
I feel 99% better now.
Do you?
Yeah. Right, 2 days worth of drops.
So. Very nice. Good.
What did Tiger do, by the way, on his chip? Did he chip it close?
No. But
I don't know. You're talking to me about my buns.
The par five?
Yeah, yeah.
He parred it.
He did? Damn it. All right. That's fine.
He had a bad second shot.
He hadn't. Yeah.
And he chipped it up.
It was a reasonable chip. He just had a bad chip.
It was a bad chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad chip.
Yeah. All right.
You got to birdie those par fives.
Jason, I'm going to send you Tony Finau's hoodie that you love so much and he's wearing
Tony Finau's wearing a hoodie that like a sophomore in high school would wear.
Nobody's ever heard of Tony Finau. He's getting so much run on the show.
I can't believe he's wearing that.
He's getting paid to wear it.
I get it, but it's a poof. I mean, the huge Nike logo.
All right, let me come back and get into the EP. Got to give you Shocker. Got another sex scandal with the teacher. Give you an update on Tommy Lee, Pam Anderson. All that good stuff. Don't go anywhere.
Don't want to derail the EP, but just a quick
shout
out.
Sure you don't.
Toledo Pizza. Went there yesterday. My guy Frank took care of me. It's absurd because I have a gift card.
Yes.
And then he's bringing by like breadsticks for no reason.
It's very nice.
And then he's like, hey, I'm going to hook up the bill. And I'm like, I got a gift card.
It's great.
But the good people over Toledo Pizza.
I bet you didn't argue that much.
You're not that much.
You're like, well, okay, it's
fine. The embarrassing part, though, when you have a gift card is, and you have no cash, and you're used to paying everything with credit card is, to throw the tip in. So I was like, make sure that I can tip you with a gift card.
Well, you got
to
bring some cash with you every once in a while.
Never have cash.
Just in case you're worried about tipping.
I don't think I've had cash for weeks.
I really don't carry cash either, but I actually carry cash now just to give it to my kids. They always need
Which makes sense. I actually got cash to hook up Homewood Suites.
Yes.
I need cash every single day to hook up the drivers.
Yeah, I don't. I was going to go down that road, but then I realized 2 days
You don't
want
to do it the way the boys do it?
Too much. No.
Why?
I do it
just
my
to be
way.
A contrarian?
I do it my way. You do it your way.
Yeah,
you're happy
to
doing it your way.
Dude, he puts $10 a time. He fills up the gas tank. He
won't Tiger just stuck a 9-iron to about 6 feet on number five. I believe that's five.
He's already up on number five?
It's either
four or five. I think he's on four.
Or whatever, it's four
he's
or five.
He's on five, I'm surprised.
Spieth hit it over the green. He's in the rough.
Spieth is poop.
Today he is. Yesterday he was.
And yesterday. And whatever.
By the way, make sure you watch the ODU Western Kentucky game today, the Conference USA.
What time
semis.
Is that? You
That's
keep hyping
o'clock.
That up. That's, why? Give me a reason why I should be interested in
that. Because Jeff Jones is coach at ODU.
I do like Jeff.
Jeff's a great dude.
He's a nice guy.
All right. And Middle Tennessee State was upset in that tournament. They're already going to the tournament as an at-large. So ODU, if they beat Western Kentucky, which swept them in the regular season, they got a shot at getting there as a conference tournament winner.
Nice.
Got a shot. And I still got to get some gear from ODU. Jeff.
That's correct. That's the most important
Probably
thing.
Won't share. Probably just going to ask for me.
Kind of selfish.
Not surprised.
Yep.
Pam Anderson has slammed her ex Tommy Lee as this story continues to unfold. Of course, we had the story the other day where Tommy Lee posted a picture of his busted lip, and apparently he got into it with his son Brandon.
Brandon probably pummeled him.
Brandon claims it was actually because they were staging an intervention. And this makes all the sense in the world.
Ah.
And Tommy got bitter. Alcohol clearly at the root of all this. And Pam says she will never talk to Tommy again before he is sober and in his right mind. Though he's made attempts to contact me, I've blocked him. It's impossible to deal with crazy. I stand beside my son who acted out of self-defense and was scared for his life.
How old is Brandon?
It's like 21, 22.
What's more awkward, doing it yourself or telling the kid what he has to do?
That's not what it says on the sheet. It just does it.
Sounded like Oscar Santana there.
What's more awkward, doing it yourself or telling the kid what he has to do?
Hey, I mean,
Oscar.
The description here
about?
Says not in my house, and it's right next to what a block.
Out of here. What a block.
It's just mislabeled.
You got to fix it.
I don't know what to tell you.
She says... Nobody understands the lifetime of disappointment this man has brought to our family. Consistently.
Thinking about the sex tape right now.
Oh, you are?
I just.
All right, now I am.
I mean, we're talking about Pam and Tommy. I have to think about the sex tape.
I'm thinking.
Just for fleeting thought.
There you go. JP got in there. Jason.
All right. I'll think about it.
Think about
it. I'm not horny, believe me. But...
Around the horn. We just did around the horn.
Yeah, we did.
Sized.
I'm thinking about her. Silly, right? That close up of it. Now completely lost cake.
Sorry. Hey, this bell bit is derailing the entire show.
Yeah. All right. But good call though, Cakes.
Thank you.
She says consistently the center of sadness, drama, and confusion, jealous of his son's talent and beauty from the day they were born. He's sick. The definition of narcissist/sociopath.
Now I'm thinking of all of the Polaroids that Motley Crue took of the groupies throughout the 80s.
Oh, Jesus.
So many.
This is interesting, guys. You got, I think, gambling?
Speed just missed a par chip. So it could be a two-stroke swing here if Tiger makes the birdie.
Well, you're going to win that bet.
It was the biggest lock in history. I don't know why you guys didn't put
thousands on it. How much did you wager on it?
I only put $30 on it.
You're saying we put thousands.
You get sized, though. You get sized
you
for 30.
You guys
so it's 30 should... to win like 50 or
30
something
to
that?
Win. It's like 30 to win like 41 or something.
It's still silly.
I don't care. I love to bet.
Apparently, there is a Sopranos prequel movie written by David Chase that's officially in the works.
Really? Saw that.
Who is in?
I'm in.
I mean, you don't have the main guy. You don't have Tony.
That's okay. I can deal with a prequel.
I think I could deal with a prequel.
Yeah. Get all it's not the a TV dogs. Show, though. Yeah. It's just a movie?
It's a movie.
Would someone play Tony?
A young Tony. Have to.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, then you have somebody play a young Tony. Could he be just like him?
Has to be everybody's a
younger
young
version.
Yeah.
This is such a great
theme
song.
How many years before The Sopranos is it? Like, is it going to be a teenage Tony Soprano?
Christopher. You couldn't have Christopher.
You don't remember the name of the butcher shop they would hang out in front of all the time?
I remember the
and
bar.
Sip like cappuccino.
I remember the bar, the strip
is
club.
Satriali's?
They I think say it was. The time what period indicates real? There'll be room for Tony Soprano's father, Johnny Boy, the former captain of the Soprano crew, and a younger version of his wife, Livia. Remember, that was played by Nancy Marchand. And Tony's uncle, Junior.
Junior, yep.
So, I don't know.
I watched the prequel to Breaking Bad. I never watched Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I don't.
Good show.
Have
never
you watched McMafia yet?
No, I have two saves.
McMafia's good.
I have to watch that this weekend and Three Billboards.
Tiger's not going to miss this, Birdie. This is like a three-inch
Do you understand
putt for him.
Tiger's golf is like the video game? Like when you're supposed to bury the putt, and we're jinxing him right now.
He's not going to miss this.
Tiger's got about 2.5 feet.
He's not going to move much. He's going to straight up the hill.
Birdie goes 2 under, 1 under on the round today.
Right, and he'll be 2 strokes up on Tiger. On
center
Jordan
cut.
Spieth.
Center cut. 2 under, moving up the lead.
Such a big fat winner that is. God, I should have put 200 on it.
Should have.
Blood flow.
Multiple.
Well, then what? I definitely got it.
It's not the spirit. You're not thinking about sex.
Well, if you get blood flow.
It kind of is.
Thank you, Cakes. This is just insane. This is where you know politics is stupid. I mean, there's
a million
reasons
why. Well, I knew
that
long before you're reading this story.
But a Minnesota politician drew up a bill because he was so frustrated and annoyed by Ari from The Bachelor that bans him from entering his state.
He's doing an attention dollars bit.
So annoying. They're saying the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, shocker, was financed with stolen money.
Oh.
Cakes. They say $60 million was used on the movie, and they stole it from some sort of Malaysian investment fund
finance it. That's a void in my movie watching resume. Haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street.
Good thing, Valdez, you weren't born in India, because you certainly would, if you were bored hopping the show, you'd have to use your feet. A butcher is arrested after cutting his son's hand off because he was addicted to porn.
Wow.
He got so bitter, he got so tired.
Struggle.
Yeah. They were fighting. The kid actually ran away. Then they came back that night. Woke up the next morning, got into another fight. The dad somehow got a hold of his hand and used a butcher knife and somehow lopped off most of the hand.
Oh, that's a horrible story.
I believe they've charged him with attempted murder, which they should.
As they should have.
Which they should. Jennifer Lawrence claims that she doesn't sleep around because she's a germaphobe. That she likes to get after it, but it has to be with boyfriends. And they're like, you check by doctors, the whole thing. She says, I've gone this long without, she says, an STI. What does that stand for? Sexually transmitted infection. Yeah. And she's not going to get one now.
When did they drop the D?
I thought it was STD.
STD.
Yeah.
That's how we were raised.
I've made it this far without an STI. Right. And blank is dangerous.
STI is about like 10 years old.
Is it?
It is. Okay.
That's the new hot fire? Nobody says STD anymore?
We've been out of the game for so long.
Valdez would know that.
Of course he would.
Yeah, right. Well, Drabby thinks they're
of course,
all myth.
Valdez's favorite STI, crabs! Not that he's had it, but that would be his favorite.
That would be a good question for the
The Junkies game, though, because somebody in this room's had it.
Wow. Now you're making it kind of awkward.
That's very awkward.
Is that very awkward?
It's down to two. It's down to two.
Oh, and by the way.
Yeah, now it's making me think.
All right. A teacher is facing prison after admitting she lured a teenager into having sex in her home. Melissa Ann Bonkowski, 38, romped cakes with a pupil, 16, during her time working as a science teacher in Pennsylvania in 2016.
PA, Jason's favorite state.
She contacted the boy by phoning his home to talk to him and his mother about his schoolwork. Then she started sending flirtatious text messages. Next thing you know, she had him over at the house, and they hit skins. And apparently, he was upset because he had a girlfriend, and then he ratted her out.
Right.
So, of course, you know, you can't do that, but that's what happened. And I don't know, last but not least, Jon Favreau apparently is set to write and produce, would you be into this, Cakes? I know I wouldn't. A live-action Star Wars TV series?
I probably would not be into that. He's directed the Iron Man movies, right?
Yes. Right. I think they love those,
yep.
Right, that he did?
I mean, absolutely. Sci-fi. Made a ton of money. Right. Made a lot of cash.
I saw Star Wars people are upset by it for some reason, that Favreau's involved.
Yeah. I'm completely unfazed by it. I'm like you, a tiger. How many back is he now?
Two.
He's only two back.
Well, I don't think that the leader has teed off yet.
Uh-oh, that one.
All right, comedian Bob Marley.
But he's still staring it down.
He will join us in studio coming up at 9:20. Next, we'll get into some of the NFL Combine here at the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.